Welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. I'm Paul Dottino. He is David Deal. This is our season finale edition. The Giants finished at 6-10 this year, and this week head coach Tom Coughlin resigned after 12 years as head coach of the New York Giants. David, you spent almost all of your NFL career working under the coach.
And it was one of the toughest things for me ever in my life, Paul, to say thank you, but also almost say goodbye to Coach Coughlin, because what he's meant to me and what he's meant to my daughter, and not only just as a football player, but what he's meant to me as a person. You know, obviously he challenged me day in and day out to be my very best out on the football field. But, you know, for those people who don't remember, my father passed away my rookie year, and to have Coach Coughlin step in and to be that leader, that coach, that role model for me, to be the straight shooter like my father, good, bad, and different, I always knew where I stood. Not only that, but he helped restore my faith. We got into about the fourth or fifth week of his first season, and he asked me, you know, you're a Catholic boy from the south side of Chicago. You know, how come you're not coming to church before games? And I said the last time I was actually in Mass was for my father's services. And he said, well, I better see you this Sunday. And from that point on, I've been going to church every week.
Well, so many personal stories that we've heard during the course of the week, but it's the people around the NFL who will label Tom Coughlin a future Hall of Famer. It's a legacy that he certainly worked very hard to build.
I have been the head coach at two Super Bowl press conferences. I've been the head coach at two AFC Championship conferences with an expansion team. I'm more nervous about this press conference than I've been about anything I've done. You know, I said yesterday that it was not a sad day for me or for us, for Judy, for my family. This is a little different situation today, because Judy and I, together a long time ago, we don't say goodbye. We just say next time. And that's really what I'm trying to convey here today as well. It's been an honor and a privilege for me to be the 16th head coach of the New York Giants. It's something you only dream about as a kid. I mean, there's no way it can possibly happen. I'm from a little town in Waterloo, New York, up the way here. You know, 5,000 people. And black and white television when I was a kid, watching the Giants and the Browns. That's about the only two teams we could get. And I, you know, and so for me to stand here as the 16th head coach of the Giants at the conclusion of a 12-year term, it's quite an awesome experience, to say the least.
You know, so much has been said about Coach Coughlin as a man, and certainly, David, you know as well as anybody. But if we can, for a second, talk about his X's and O's as a football coach, the two Super Bowl championships as a head coach, beating and upsetting the Patriots in the Super Bowl twice, which nobody thought he was going to be able to do.
You know, that was the best thing about Coach Coughlin, is that you knew every single Sunday going into a football game that you knew everything about the other team. You knew what you needed to do when situational football things arose, because those are the times during football games that win or lose the game for you. And it's all how you are able to respond and react instead of overthinking things. So the preparation that we would have, even on those Saturday meetings, he would go through situations, whether it was the year before, that season, the week before, so that everybody on that football team knew exactly how to handle things if things did arise that aren't normal circumstances, like they do each and every Sunday in the NFL.
And you know, as much as Coach Coughlin always wanted to win and that was his top priority, well, guess what? Being a man and being a leader, that was right up there too.
In professional football, the goal is to win. We all know that. It is a bottom-line profession. We understand that completely. But my contention is, and when I first brought this up was with our 017, my contention is there's a higher ground. There's a greater purpose. That purpose is team. It is the team concept. Winning, losing, playing hard, playing well, doing it for each other, winning the right way is a very, very important thing to me and to all of our coaches. That's what motivates and inspires us. Championships are won by teams who love one another, who enjoy and respect one another, and play for and support one another. In the NFL, it's important to all 32 owners, to all coaches, whether they be young or old, to realize that we have an obligation to teach these young men the lessons, the principles, and the life skills that they will need once their professional careers are over. And they are short-lived, by the way. And while it is the job of the head coach to get the technical football right, obviously that's why we get hired, to make sure the X's and O's are efficient and that the players have a great plan and that plan allows them to go forth and have a chance to win games. It is our duty to equip these men with the virtues that will last a lifetime. The values like honesty, trust, responsibility, respect, service, and integrity. Those are the things that we teach in addition to the football. And you see these gentlemen here in the crowd, in this crowd that have played for this organization, they represent what I'm talking about. Not just winners on the field, but better yet, winners in life. People you can be proud of. You like these people for your next door neighbor. That's how important it is to me. John Wooden said, reputation is what others think of you. Character is who you really are. Character. We try to develop the character of each man who walked through these doors. Character is what endures. What has become extremely important to me as I've grown in this position is relationships. Relationships have become the primary objective in my career. I still have a hard time when former players, guys who, you know, we've battled together, they've been corrected, you know, I've been mad at them, they've been mad at me, and so on and so forth. And after a year or two, sometimes not even that long, they walk up to me and say, I love you, coach. And when that first happened to me, I didn't know how to respond. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, this is that big old tough guy business. You're not supposed to be able to say that and do that. But I can tell you right now, it has become the source of drive for me is that when our players, whether they're in their career, after their career, when they come back to me and they say, Coach, I love you. And they follow that up by saying they've become better men, better husbands, better fathers, better friends because of their experience having been a New York Giant. And while the two Super Bowl trophies right out here are incredible accomplishments, and I'm very proud of them, don't get me wrong, I believe it is the unbreakable bond between coach and player that defines me as a coach and any humble success that we might have had here as New York Giant coaches.
David, I want to refer to a couple of words that Coach Coughlin used when he talked about the kinds of things he lived by. He said integrity and honesty. Two other things I'll always think about when I think of Coach Coughlin, consistency and self-discipline. Any other words or phrases that come to mind for you?
Love. I was one of those players when I saw him on Monday, when I said my goodbye to him, I gave him the biggest hug I could possibly give him and tell him that I loved him because the way he affected my life, the way he affected my daughter's life, I know I'm not the only one speaking in that regard. I mean, when I picked up my daughter from school on Monday and she found out, she asked me about it and she started crying because she knew how much it meant to me and she saw the sadness on my face. And that's the biggest thing is that when we won those championships and throughout that entire time that I've been a New York Giant, we weren't a team. We were a family. And he knew every kid from all the players, all the wives, everybody around. He knew them all by name. He would have special days where the kids would come and spend time at the facility. I mean, Paul, my daughter's 9 years old. She could give you a full tour of this place. And it's because of Coach Coughlin making that a priority so that this wasn't just an only place of work. This was a place for all people and all families to feel welcome because, you know, you almost become dehumanized when you're a football player. You're here at first thing in the morning. You're leaving at 5:30 at night. You're watching film. You get home. You're tired. And the things that you miss when your kids are growing up are some of the toughest things ever. But he would allow you to have them here so that you could have those special days and those special moments that my daughter and the rest of the kids around here that will have for the rest of their lives.
And then quickly, when you come to work, the boss sometimes has to make adjustments. You were part of that leadership council that happened just before the 2007 season, and wow, two Super Bowls came out of that.
I think the best word you said was adjustment. Coach Coughlin did not change. There was still the 5 minutes early rule. There was still the no White Sox traveling. There was still the same uniform policy. But what he did was he adapted to the players. In 2007 and throughout the rest of my career, I was a part of that leadership council because he let us police the locker room. He let us take over things, even though he was still in charge, but he had the confidence that we could do it, and he let us as a team take over.
Tom Coughlin, a winner, a champion, someday a Hall of Famer. Can't say anything else better than that. Tom Coughlin, head coach of the New York Giants for 12 years. This franchise will never forget him. Back with more after this. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So with Tom Coughlin's resignation, the Giants have a void to fill as what they got to do with their new head coach. Co-owner John Mara explains the next step.
I mean, the search will be extensive, and I'm not going to talk about specific candidates other than to say that both our coordinators, both Ben and Steve Spagnuolo, will be interviewed. There will be a number of other candidates as well. And again, you know, I don't want to get into speculating about who they might be. Jerry and I will do the initial interviews, and then at some point, Steve and possibly other members of the Tisch family, John and Lori, will get to meet the final candidates. But we'll do it pretty much the same way that Ernie and I did it in 04. We'll go out and do the initial interviews and then come back with a recommendation. There's no specific timetable. Obviously, you want to do it sooner rather than later because staffs get filled. There are other teams out there looking for coaches, and so we need to get moving on it, and that starts right away.
So you heard John Mara talk about Ben McAdoo and Steve Spagnuolo, the two coordinators who will be part of the interview process. Now, David, from a player's perspective, this limbo area, how does that affect your mentality, not knowing who the next coach is going to be and how uncomfortable it might be?
I mean, it does affect your mentality because it's something that we haven't had to deal with as a New York Giants organization and staff because of Coach Coughlin being here throughout that entire time. But you just hope whoever they bring in understands, number one, this is the best organization in the NFL, bar none. It's one of the originals. The groundwork and the foundation and the character and attitude was laid down by the Mara family through Wellington Mara and now through John Mara. But you want somebody who comes in, respects and understands what it is to be a New York Giant.
Now, you'll recall when Coach McAdoo came to the Giants just a couple of years back, he had not been a Giant in any previous incarnation, but he's made a very good impression in a very short time.
I think our offense certainly improved. I think he's proven himself to be a very good teacher. He has a very good handle on our offense. I think he communicates very well. I think he shows some leadership skills. So he's got some good qualities.
David, in 2 years with Coach McAdoo as the offensive coordinator, Eli Manning's completed a combined 63% of his passes with 65 touchdowns and only 28 interceptions. Pretty impressive. So how important is it for Eli to have consistency?
It's very important for Eli to have consistency because he is right now in the prime of his NFL career. And, you know, if you talk about the changing back to who he was and to where he is now 2 years in this system, I think this system is perfect for everything Eli Manning is as a quarterback. His ability to change things at the line of scrimmage, his ability to get things out quick and throw passes right away. But also, like I said, the flexibility, because if there is anybody each and every Sunday more prepared and more ready for Eli Manning, they'll be Superman, because this guy is a guy who spends countless times and hours making sure that he's fully ready to go. And the other thing that he does, he pulls everybody along on that offense with him because he lays the groundwork and the foundation and the work ethic of how things are supposed to be run around here.
Now, on the other side of the ledger, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, well, he had been a Giant at one time, and then also is the one coordinator who has head coaching experience, that in St. Louis, although it didn't go as well as he would have liked.
No, it did not, but if there's anybody that respects Steve Spagnuolo, it's me, and anybody who's been on a staff or who has played with him. He is a great man. He is a man of character. But the other thing is, he looks at players as kids. He doesn't look at them as players. You know, he doesn't have any children. And you talk to him, and every single Friday, he invites people from the team to come have dinner with him and his wife because it's about relationships. It's about trust in one another. And everybody who's ever played for Steve Spagnuolo trusts and knows who he is as a person.
Now, if you go off the board, in fact, John Mara himself said yesterday he would not automatically eliminate someone from the college coaching ranks. New York's a pretty tough animal. Is that a good idea?
Well, I would eliminate somebody from the college ranks because this is a whole different world. Being in New York City, being a New York Giant, and dealing with professional athletes. You're not dealing with scholarship here. You're dealing with grown men with kids who need that transparency. So for me, if I was to choose, I would not pick somebody from the college ranks.
Yeah, a lot of heat in this kitchen that you don't get in a lot of other places.
No, not at all. It's one thing going after a college game and seeing 20 sources of media. It's another thing coming off the field on Sunday in MetLife Stadium, and there's about 200 there.
All right, when we come back, we will delve more into what the Giants have to do to remake this franchise. Back after this. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. One of the things that John Mara addressed at his presser was that the Giants' general manager will not change. Jerry Reese, indeed, is going to be the man who goes forward with the plans.
We've had three losing years in a row, and a lot of that is due to some personnel decisions that have been made. But I still believe that Jerry Reese is the right guy to lead us going forward. Why do I believe that? Jerry put together two Super Bowl winning teams. I would venture to say that if we were to poll all of you in this room 2 years ago about who the top general managers in the league are, every one of you in here would have him on your list. So now 2 years later, you know, after another bad season, do we want to throw all that out? I still think he's capable of putting a great team together, and he's going to get that opportunity. To the extent we need to make changes in personnel or in the way we do things, we're going to discuss that. But I still have full confidence in him.
So Jerry Reese has been the Giants GM for 9 years. He's been in the organization since 1994. And if there's one huge value the Giants have always had close to their heart, it's consistency. And Jerry Reese is about as Giant as anybody's going to get right now.
He really is. And, you know, the one thing that you like and that he said is he acknowledged his faults. He said that the system has been broke, but it's up to him to fix it. And the way to do that, which Coach Coughlin addressed on his press conference, you need tough football players. You need guys who are willing to fight. You need guys who are going to scratch and claw regardless of whether they be nicked up or anything happened. I was a fifth-round draft pick. I was no silver spoon. And I was a guy who came in here knowing that I was going to fight each and every day for the guy next to me, regardless of how I was feeling that day.
Well, there's one thing that's glaringly obvious to everybody, top to bottom. The Giants' defense just didn't seem to have enough bullets. John Mara addressed that as well.
Well, it obviously was lacking in some talent. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been 6-10. I mean, we have a lot of holes to fill, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. There's no question about that. You know, you can't hide from the record, and the record indicates that we do not have enough championship-caliber players, and that's on us. Everybody's involved in those personnel decisions. We obviously missed the boat. Some of our draft classes were not as productive as we had hoped that they would be. And I think that's primarily the cause of why we're standing here today talking about this. I've had numerous conversations with Jerry about that. We need to look at where have we missed the boat on some of these things. What can we do better? What do we need to change? Are our standards too rigid? Are they not rigid enough? I mean, what is it that has happened? Now, the last couple of drafts have been much more productive, but we had a few in there where we just haven't seen the production. And, you know, your core players are your third, fourth, fifth year players, and if you look back at those draft classes, there's just not a lot of them that are playing right now.
Now, for a while, as the Giants were able to keep their season alive, they were getting a ton of takeaways. In fact, they were leading the league for quite a while, David, and that's how they were able to camouflage a lot of these holes.
They really were, and that was one of the biggest things, is that there were so many injuries and some deficiency on the defensive side of the ball that need to be fixed moving forward here as a football team. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul, you can give him the utmost credit for how he was able to come back. But it wasn't only on him. There were other players while he was out that did not step up and rise to the challenge and to the occasion like they needed to.
Yeah, too many times they were unable to get a stop late in the game. And really, that comes down to having more impact players. That's the reason they call them impact players, because they make those plays.
And you couldn't be more right about that. And I don't care about spread offenses, speed, tempos. Games are won and lost at the line of scrimmage in the NFL. That will never change. And if you think about the identity of all the great Giants teams and the ones that won those four Lombardi trophies in the hallway, they were blue-collar, tough offensive linemen and defensive linemen.
Now, you heard John Mara talk about not having enough of third, fourth, and fifth-year players. The Giants have 10 total draftees under contract from the 2013 draft and earlier, so that goes right to his point.
It most certainly does, and that's where you're really dictating the future and the depth of your football team are by those guys in their third, fourth, and fifth year, and that's definitely going to be addressed here moving forward through free agency and through this upcoming draft.
All right, there is some good news, though. The last couple of drafts, there's a lot of good young talent. I want to get a look at some of these names, David, because it does seem to me they're going to be part of the solution.
They most certainly will be. You started with the first one at the top, Odell Beckham Jr., Weston Richburg, who will be a good center for a long time for the New York Giants, Jay Bromley filling in, you know, Andre Williams at running back, Devon Kennard at fifth round. He could be a phenomenal football player.
And, of course, Odell Beckham has already gotten off to a blazing start of historic proportions.
He most certainly has, but now it's time to get another piece to that puzzle so that when he is getting double coverage, when they're bracketed to him side, there is somebody opposite him that is going to win a one-on-one battle.
You know, it's so early in his career, and I don't want to, you know, put his bust in Canton like Bill Parcells used to say this early. But, David, seriously, how much better can he be?
He can. Why? Because his best football is, one, he's physically gifted. But, two, it's everything in between his ears because he is a smart, hardworking, but competitive football player. He wants to be challenged, and if there's the best guy going up against him on the other side, he doesn't care. He wants to prove people wrong.
All right, let's look at the 2015 draft class, and I think you can make an argument all of these guys will be on the 53, probably opening day in 2016.
Eric Flowers, you know, continued to improve as the season went along, and the biggest thing he did was he showed his toughness like an offensive lineman should, fighting through that ankle injury. Landon Collins did a great job, but they need another safety opposite of him so he can play at his strength, down as an eighth player in the box where he can blitz and he can do more things. Owe Odighizuwa will be a better football player having the reps and the season that he had this year. The guy I'm looking for to step up is Bobby Hart.
Bobby Hart, a very interesting pick out of Florida State, who got some limited snaps both at guard and at tackle. David, I think he's going to compete for a starting job.
I think he'll be the starting right guard next season.
Pretty cool stuff. All right, when we come back, more about how the Giants have to move forward with this franchise. Stick around. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Paul DeTito and David Deal with you. General Manager Jerry Reese understands that there are positives and negatives to being in his position. He addressed some of those things earlier.
As far as the season, you know, we're 6-10, you know, and obviously we have some issues with personnel. But let me say this, you know, personnel, you always miss on some draft picks. I take full responsibility for every player that's been on this roster from the time I was the director of player personnel to right now. So I'll take full responsibility, even though we have everybody's involved with the grading players and the players that we take. We don't try, you know, I don't try to have full control of everything. Our coaching staffs are involved. Our personnel staffs involved. Everybody's involved. We, you know, if there's a guy that we don't like, you know, if there's too much controversy about him, we will absolutely, you know, think about taking somebody else into consideration. But everybody is involved. But I take full responsibility. So let me put that on me right here, right now, for everybody. You know, the roster is up to me, and I take full responsibility for everything that's happened. You know, obviously, you know, there's some situations on the roster that needs to be addressed. And we'll continue to try to build a roster. The roster is, you know, it's not easy to turn a roster over and start to rebuild. You want to make it competitive, and I do think we're competitive. You know, we were 6-10, so you are what your record says you are. But I believe we were competitive. I think we lost 8 games by a total of 26 points, and a few of them right in the last couple of seconds of the game. So we have some things to do, obviously, but you know, the roster that we put out there, it wasn't a perfect roster. Nobody has a perfect roster, but you got to manufacture wins in different ways. You got to play the hand you're dealt, and you got to win with it. And we lost too many close games. Had chances to win a lot of games. We had a couple of undefeated teams in here that, you know, we had a chance to win the game on a couple of plays here and there during the season. You know, I said this when we won Super Bowls. You know, seasons are about a call here, a ball bouncing here, a tip pass here. I've said that over and over again. It can change your whole season, just a couple of 2 or 3 plays. And that happens, you know, and we've been on the wrong end of that. And I do, you know, I'm not making any excuses. The personnel, we got some personnel issues that we got to resolve. And we'll continue to do that, and we will do that. We'll get it right. So, you know, that's what I had to say about the season. You know, we will evaluate our personnel staff and look, see if there need to be any changes to be made there. We evaluate, you know, still trying to evaluate why the injury situation is happening for us. You know, we're leading the league or close to the league again with injury issues. So we're trying to evaluate. We've tried everything with that. You know, we've changed the schedule. We've do GPS. We've done a lot of different things trying to correct some of those things. But quite frankly, you know, injuries happen in the National Football League. Everybody has injuries, you know. We had some guys that never even got to the field that we absolutely were dependent on, and just part of it, you know, the Jason Pierre-Paul situation. That's unfortunate, but some of those things happen sometimes, and that's just the way it is. But you got to play the hand you're dealt. You got to manufacture wins. We were close a lot of times. What if we win 3 or 4 of those games, 2 of those games? We're probably not even having a conversation, you know, about some of the things that we've talked about here today. So, we'll work hard. Our fans deserve, you know, a better product than we've put out there the last 3 years, and we'll work hard to do that. And I know a lot of it's on me, and I take full responsibility for it.
David, this was a particularly painful season. The Giants had 6 losses of 4 points or less.
It was tough, but, you know, you have to have that killer instinct as a football team. It can't be an, oh, no, here we go again. It has to be we are not going to let this happen again. And I think about our teams and the success that we had, and it was leadership. Guys like Michael Strahan, Antonio Pierce, myself, Chris Snee, and I can name people on and on that would step up and would say something to the team when things would get down and when things would get tough and the game were on the line, we would not be denied. And that's what they need to get back to. And that's that type of attitude they have to have as a football team.
It might not be so bad if they had like a 90-player roster either, David, because this year the Giants ended the season with an NFC high 21 players on injured reserve, and that is just an unbelievable amount of guys to lose.
It really is, and you look at how key those players were on the defensive side of the ball, the ones that they had that were not participating for a full 16-game stretch. And yeah, you think about those players, if they're out there, they could have won those football games. But at the end of the day, and here we are sitting here with a new head coach coming in and a new roster that's going to be turned over.
Well, one thing the Giants need to figure out is which one of these guys that they're going to be able to bring back. Victor Cruz coming off of that calf procedure. Will Beatty coming off of a rotator cuff thing. These guys were really expected to be big, big parts of this offense.
They most certainly were. And obviously, Victor Cruz was very tough losing because I think everybody was expecting for Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr. to have big seasons. But those players need to step up if they want to be on this roster.
All right. Well, one thing that Jerry Reese did also say is that he thinks this can be a quicker fix than some do believe.
Our salary cap situation is a lot better than it's been for a while. And of course, you can turn the season around quickly. And again, you can take 10 plays, you know, out of the season, and we're not even we could be 11 wins right now. So absolutely, we could turn the season around quickly, and we expect to do that, and we'll work hard. I know our everybody on this staff works hard, and we'll continue to work hard to try to do that. I hope it's really soon. If you can take a few plays here and there, we lost 8 games by close margin. I don't think we're that far away. You know, and obviously when you're 6-10, you know, a couple of years in a way, everybody's thinking, you know, tells you you're a bad team. So, but again, this, you know, National Football League, things can get fixed quickly, and we expect to do that. We expect to fix things quickly and have a chance to get back in the tournament and play Giant football like we like.
And, of course, first things first, the Giants have to worry about their own house. David, they've got approximately 30 free agents going into this offseason.
And that is a big step of where this team and this organization has to go. And you can spend that money, which is fine. We've all seen teams spend money, especially in this division. But you have to find character players who are leaders, who are tough, but also fit your system. That's what they need.
Now, one thing numbers-wise, you talk about thin. How about it's safety? This is a very good example of how the Giants really need to fortify themselves. 6 safeties on the roster with a total of 16 starts combined between them, and all of those belong to Landon Collins.
And I think Landon Collins did a tremendous job doing what he did because he played outside of his comfort zone and who he is as a football player. Like I said, they need to get another safety in here who has the coverage skills that allows him to play at the line of scrimmage, to play to his strengths.
And I want to move to linebacker to stay on the defensive side of the ball. And Devon Kennard had 4.5 sacks as a rookie and some limited action, was hurt a lot of this year. But of the linebackers that are here right now, he would appear to be the one guy who has that blitz pass rush capabilities. The other guys are more behind the line guys.
He does. He has that versatility where he can be an edge rusher, almost like an outside linebacker in a 3-4 system. But there's no mistake about it. The deficiency at the linebacker position is at the middle linebacker position. I love John Beeson more than anybody in the world. But when he got hurt, it was very tough to overcome. They need a tough, hard-nosed, fighting linebacker because that's what this organization is about.
All right. So as they always say, take care of your own free agency first. See what you can keep. See what you want to get rid of. And only then can you move on to look at the other people who are available out there in the draft or from other teams. Back with more after this. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. David, as the Giants do look to rebuild this roster, we touched on it just before the break a little bit. Defensively, they've really got a lot of work to do.
They really do. You know, you start at that defensive end position because we're unsure of what the position and where Jason Pierre-Paul will be next year. You talk about the middle linebacker position, another free safety to go opposite Landon Collins. Prince is a free agent, but the one thing about Prince, he's never finished a season fully healthy. So the defensive side of the ball has to step up. And the other thing, a penetrating three technique who can split double teams, wreak havoc in the backfield, and free things up for linebackers.
All right, let's talk about the possible return of some of the names you just mentioned. We'll start with Jason Pierre-Paul. This year, 6 quarterback hits, or should I say he had quarterback hits, in 6 of the 8 games that he played. You see the rest of his stat line there. Look, it's probably almost a miracle that he was able to give the Giants as much as he did after the offseason hand injury.
He was the biggest difference maker, and you think about him coming back from that injury. He played 50-plus snaps in his first game back. And like I said, I don't think I was one of those people that didn't expect that, nor did a lot of people. So you have to give him a lot of credit. You see the production by other players. It's no coincidence Robert Ayers had more sacks as the season progressed because JPP was flushing quarterbacks to his side. But, yes, there are things that they need to continue to improve upon on the defensive side of the ball because that's what this organization is known for, a hard, tough-nosed defense.
All right, let me give you some numbers on Prince Amukamara, who also is a free agent. only allowed 3 touchdown passes this year on 70 targets, 42 completions. But again, as you mentioned, he's only played a full 16-game schedule once in his 5 years as a Giant.
And that's the biggest thing, is his health. He can't last this season as of to date. So they have to figure out, is he going to be a part of the solution or is he part of the problem?
Yeah, Robert Ayers is another guy you mentioned when you were talking about JPP. Boy, what a year he had. A career-high 9.5 sacks this year in 12 games. Missed a couple by injury there. Also with 11 tackles for losses and a team-leading 22 quarterback hits.
And that's what he is his best at, is winning those one-on-one matchups. But like I said, you need somebody opposite of you to be able to get the production that you need as a defensive end. Jason Pierre-Paul was the main reason why he was able to step up and have the playmaking ability that he had.
Now, maybe the numbers weren't there for another free agent to be Cullen Jenkins along that defensive line, but he certainly was a good presence in the locker room. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, Reuben Randall is a free agent coming up. 8 touchdown catches this year. That was a career high.
And for me, it was a disappointment. There was too many ups and downs. There was no consistency in this football. And when you expected him to step up at the same time as Dwayne Harris and Odell Beckham Jr. in one game, it didn't happen.
All right, David, I'll tell you one thing that really troubled me about this whole thing. When the Giants needed some guys to step up and then they tried to get them, then they wound up getting hurt too. And it was almost like you're going 3 and 4 into your depth chart. And
it really,
that's really
is.
Hard.
And that's the biggest thing with Dwayne Harris. I commend him for the way that he played because he's a Pro Bowl caliber returner. That's why he was brought in here. But him having to be thrust into that third wide receiver spot because of the injuries, it plagued him as a returner and his big playmaking ability.
And he got banged up and
yeah.
played almost half the season really, really hurt. All right, when we come back, we will delve more into the Giants roster and figure out how to fix it. So stick around. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. You know, Eli Manning, my goodness, David, what a sensational season he has had. You know, 4 times during his career, he's had a quarterback rating of at least 90 points. And the last 2 years under Coach McAdoo, he has established that trick.
He really has, and he's stepped up tremendously in this offense. And you think about from last year to this year, for being a drop-back quarterback and the footwork he had his entire life and being able to adapt into this offense and succeed at a high level, it was phenomenal. Look at the career high, 35 touchdowns to only 14 interceptions. And the biggest thing for me was the way that he handled and managed the entire offense at the line of scrimmage. You know, the one knock that people will have on Eli, which I'm sure he will correct, are the interceptions in the red zone.
Well, now let me ask you this, because we all know and respect Eli Manning as probably one of the most astute quarterbacks in the game. We worry about saying, can he adapt to another system if he's got to change at age 35? But you and I both know, if somebody else does come in here, he's going to work his butt off to do it.
Yeah, like Coach Coughlin said in his press conference, he'll be back here in 2 days breaking down this entire season, his strengths, his weaknesses, what he has to do moving forward to be the best quarterback that he can be out on the football field. So he is the last person that you should doubt or question his ability to adapt.
All right, let's talk about his favorite target, Odell Beckham, who wound up eclipsing all of the numbers that he had during his rookie season. And in fact, the 13 touchdown catches tied a franchise record set by Homer Jones in 1967 when he caught 13.
Well, I think that he could have been the best wide receiver in football this season, but you have to give it to Julio Jones. Why? Because he had a supporting cast. He had Roddy White. He had a tight end that caught, and he had a running back in Devontae Freeman. This guy needs somebody else opposite of him to step up to make big plays because it will only make him a more dynamic and big home run hitter.
Well, the question is, who is that other guy? Could it possibly be Victor Cruz? This is a guy now, Victor, who because of a knee injury and then a calf procedure, he hasn't played a National Football League game since that time in Philadelphia, October 12th, 2014.
And that was only 6 games that season. So that is the big question mark moving forward here. Will he be at full health? And he needs to be at full health during OTAs and minicamp to get his reps to get back to who he is as a football player.
Now, one of the other guys the Giants need in their passing game wasn't a receiver, it's an offensive lineman. Will Beatty, who had the torn pec, then he had a rotator cuff surgery, did not play a game at all this season. And since he was out of the lineup, rookie Eric Flowers became the Giants' new starting left tackle.
And he did it by working his tail off and earning that position, regardless of the injury to Will Beatty. The big thing with Will Beatty is, once again, our injuries. He's been injury-plagued. If I was to bring him back this offseason, I would either restructure his contract or I would do it incentive-based, based on the amount of plays and games he does as a football player.
And again, he will be 31 in March. That, of course, talking about Beatty. Flowers, in the meantime, has this arrow that's just pointing way up. He really came along quickly.
I said right away when he was drafted, he is a more athletic Kareem McKenzie. He has that toughness. He has everything that you're looking for in an offensive tackle. He got better. He showed that he is a fighter going through the injury that he had. But the biggest thing that he's not coming in that he will continue to get better at is his technique.
What about the right side of the Giants' offensive line? We know what they wanted to do coming in. And, of course, talk about injuries again. Jeff Schwartz wound up going down. He was supposed to be a staple there.
And I think, like I said, I think throughout this entire offseason, Bobby Hart better become ready to play football when he gets here, because I think that he should be the starting right guard for this football team. And if you talk about the right tackle position, it's not Will Beatty. He is not a right tackle in the NFL. He is athletic. He is quick-footed. But he doesn't have that size and maths that you need to be that road grader on that side.
You know, we talk about you being a middle to low round draft choice, and so many people will say, well, maybe the Giants got to use a first or second one to help that O-line. But that's not always the case.
It's not always the case. But what they need are they need guys who are going to come in with a chip on their shoulder to prove day in and day out that they deserve to be in the NFL and deserve to be a part of this football team.
Let's talk about the tight ends for a second, since they are kind of pseudo offensive linemen at times. Ty and Donnell combined for 71 receptions and 5 touchdown catches this year. And then at the very end, we got a chance to see rookie Matt Lacoste catch 3 balls in Minnesota.
You have to give nothing but credit to Will Ty coming in midway through the season and playing the way that he did. But the thing about Will Ty is his hands got better as the year progressed. He had some drops early. But his big question is he a big threat with the run after catch? The other thing that he needs to do if he wants to be a part of this organization, he better be a special teams player. But the biggest thing that the Giants need to do at the tight end position, they need a run-blocking tight end to make sure that they can set the edge and get outside zones and sweeps open. But they need a big, dynamic, pass-catching tight end who can work the seams, work the crossing routes, and open up things for other receivers outside.
And, of course, Larry Donnell in limbo with that neck injury. What about defense now? The front seven, Hankins and Kennard, they're supposed to be part of the future.
Hankins is as tough as it gets. It's unfortunate another injury that took place for him. But he is that type of guy who plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. He is great with his hands. He eats up double teams. But he has to come back with the supporting cast around him so that if there are double teams, if there's slide and protection, it's not only going to him. There's got to be a defensive end and another defensive tackle to help him out.
There is some good news in terms of solid positioning. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, my goodness, what a terrific cover corner he is. He still is under contract, allowed 1 touchdown pass this year on 77 targets and only 41 receptions.
He's everything that you thought he would be coming to the New York Giants. He is competitive. He is tough. He can line up against those number one receivers. But at the same time, he needs help on the other side.
Well, I'll tell you something, David. It's going to be very interesting how the Giants rebuild this thing. It is a critical time for the franchise as the Giants try to get back into postseason play.
I'm excited to look forward to see what happens here, not only with the head coach, but with the draft and free agency, because I think all of us want to see this team get back to the championship culture and win football games to get back in the playoffs and hopefully win number 5.
David, been great to be with you this year.
You as well, Paul.
Hey, thanks to head coach Tom Coughlin, his staff, the players, everyone around here at the front office, the folks in the broadcast division, we have had a marvelous time bringing you week-to-week Giants Press Conference Live and all of our other Giants programming here on MSG Networks. We'll see you again in 2016.